Then we had some like crab
cakes. As god awful cold as it looked.
It wasn't terrible. I think when we were in Skagway, like it was foggy and 45 in the morning. By like noon, it was sunny and like 60. And then by like 3 o'clock, it was cloudy, 50 again.
Okay.
The weather up there is just like quickly changing.
Gotcha.
All right. 740 Prime League Podcast. Falling autumn leaves, it's gridiron time. As they face off in the league, top New Guinea prime. When it comes to draft selection, be methodical and wise. Draft that back or receiver who can cross the goal line. Gotta draft the clutch kicker, the defense that grinds. Sacks and QB forces turnovers like this ball mine. Who gon' win it all? I'm not quite sure, don't know. Is it in your girl's guts? A team Cicito, team Aaron's, we trust a Tama Jammer, bro. And we have Grateful Zed squaring off with Let It Rain. Member Berries versus Clam Wallin, who gon' feel the pain? Spider-Man versus Waddle Rockets, who gon' do they thing? Plus that primetime showdown that completes this race. Fantasy football team versus Team in McTeam face.
Primetime.
Yeah.
Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside.
Guess who's back again?
Jason's
back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? 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 Guess who's back?
Prime League Podcast, episode 1.08. A little bit of a different intro right there as we welcome back our co-host, owner of the Member Berries, co-commissioner of the Prime League, the Papua New Guinea Prime League, Jason Ryan. Jason, welcome back, buddy.
Good to be back. Back on the East Coast, same time zone. Back on solid ground after extended vacation. Off to see the last frontier of Alaska, a little bit of Canada, some of California.
How was the time shift going from here to there, then coming back from there to here?
It's always not difficult, but jarring. You know, everyone is at this time was either 3 or 4 hours behind us, depending where we were in our trip. You know, it's like 3 o'clock our time and everyone else is at like 7 o'clock trying to communicate with people. And it was the same when we went to Hawaii last year. Just it's so jarring that things are already done and the day's already over with and I'm still at like the beginning or middle of my day.
When I went to Colorado, it was a big jump for me, and it was only a 2-hour difference, so I can only imagine what the four, you said 3 and 4 hour differences at,
yeah,
at points.
California was 3 hours, and once we got pretty much to Alaska, it switched over to 4, and while we were in the Alaska area, we were 4 hours behind. On our way back when we stopped in Canada is when we switched back to 3 hours.
How far away were you from the northeastern point of Russia?
So actually, and I didn't know this until, you know, we booked and looked into the cruise. Juneau is still like on the western part of Canada almost. It's like the real southern part of Alaska where we were in. We weren't in like the big round part up top. So we were kind of like, it's almost like islands that stretch down to the south.
Tim, why are you requesting a geography lesson from the man?
He was gone for a while, man. We didn't get to talk to him or anything. Just a few texts here and there, some cool pictures. Just curious how far away he was from the motherland.
The motherland.
I mean, definitely the closest that I had ever been, for sure.
He was on a cruise, Tim, not a cartography trip.
Jay, were you able to keep up with the pod while you were gone?
Yeah. As we know, Wednesday we were traveling, the first Wednesday, so I listened to it I think Thursday or Friday, and on the way back I was able to call in obviously last week and listen to it a little bit later that night. Like I said, I think it was Justin came in and filled in admirably for me. I think it's a little harder for him because he's not in the league anymore, but he did a great job.
Hell yeah, he did. And I want to shout him out for stepping in and helping out. He provided a lot of funny material, a lot of good insight, a lot of rehashing some old times back in the beginning days of the Prime League or the Papua New Guinea Prime League. So it was pretty cool to have him. Anything surprise you about the NFL over the past couple of weeks, Jay, while you were gone?
I mean, the biggest thing was Miami on Sunday. So Sunday we were just getting back. We were disembarking the ship and everything. By the time we got off the ship, got to the hotel, got settled in and everything, most of the games were over at that point. And when I saw they put up 70, I was just shook. I thought I was seeing something wrong. Maybe it was a WNBA game or something. It was shocking that they put up 70.
I stopped watching at a certain point, and Shane texts me, he goes, "Yo, Miami." And I looked at the score, and it was a blowout when I stopped watching, and then they had tacked on two more or three touchdowns. It was like the three touchdown in less than 2 minute thing.
I mean, it's like a Madden score to have five rushing touchdowns and five passing touchdowns. It's wild.
It looked like a game of Madden on the screen. It did. Miami had the ball. It was insane.
Long touchdowns, kick returns, and it was spread out. It wasn't just one guy. Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill.
No, it was the whole team.
Tyreek Hill had a big game, a career game for most players, and he was only the third highest scorer fantasy-wise on the entire Miami Dolphins offense. What about the Chubb injury, Jay? You got to see pictures of that.
Was rough. So I actually got to watch it. So surprisingly, they showed a few games like on a big screen on the cruise ship. I was able to actually watch the Ohio State game on the big screen.
Okay.
The first Saturday they didn't show it the second Saturday, so I didn't see the Notre Dame game. But they also had one channel in our rooms that had NFL games, and since the Steelers game was a Monday night, that was the only one playing, so I was able to watch it, and I saw that happen live. Ooh. It was just, I mean, it was like I said last week, it was Willie McGahee all over again.
Right before Matt sent the Twitter or the X link in the group message, I was able to fast rewind and pause the screen from the high angle that you usually see whenever you're watching the game. I was able to pause the screen and you could see the 90-degree bend in his leg. I saw it in fast motion. I didn't see it at first. I had to watch it two or three times, but I saw it in fast motion and I was just absolutely grossed out. And as soon as I was able to pause it right on that screen, less than 3 or 4 minutes later, Matt sending that link. So yeah, that was pretty gruesome to see.
I mean, that's another shocker to me that he only tore his MCL.
Yes.
It's shocking. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
Good for him.
He's got elastic in his legs. That's got to be what it is.
I mean, Dave Chappelle playing Rick James said it best. His legs is like linguine.
Later on, we get to trash the commish. Don't forget to submit your material to me to be read on the show. You can also submit it to Jason. You can also call in the show. Hit up my cell at 740-346-5607. We'll update you on the standings of King of the Hill, as well as give you our week 4 picks. We'll provide you with our master or disaster, formerly known as the Stardom or Sit'em segment. We'll give you our master or disaster picks for week 4. We got two guests coming up today on episode 1.8. We'll take your calls, but first, it's time for the weekly review.
Weekly review.
All right, week 3 is Dunsky. Let's check in on the action. Tim, what do we have? Take it away.
Okay, give me 1 second here, guys. All right, taking a look at the week 3 score, Sanford Waddle Rockets ends Clam Wallet Scavengers' perfect record with a 144-119 win. Waddle Rockets move on to one of two undefeated teams that remain at 3-0. Scavengers now 2-1. Spider-Man Parts improved to 1-2 with a 146-112 win over the now 0-3 Member Berries. McTeam Face makes it two wins in a row after beating In Your Girls Guts 105-91. Team Face now 2-1. Your Girls now 1-2. Game of the week, the fantasy football team edges out Sestito 100-97. Team Sestito falls to 0-3. The fantasy football team joins the Sanford Waddle Rockets as the only remaining unbeaten teams, each team sitting at 3-0. Let It Rain beats Grateful Zeds in a shootout 155-144. Let It Rain earns their first win of the season. They're 1-2, while the Grateful Zeds drops their first game of the season, now 2-1. And by the way, guys, this is the highest score total of the week, 299 points between the two teams. Tama Jama pounds out Aaron We Trust, 146-109. Tama Jama earning their second win, now 2-1. Team Aaron earning their second loss. They are now 1-2. That is, by the way, the largest deficit of the week at 37 points. And it's great to see that the games have gotten a lot closer here in week three, because week one and week two, pretty much all the games were blowouts.
Yes, absolutely. Timmy, how tight were your butt cheeks on Sunday evening?
Let me take you through that real quick. We'll start with I almost guaranteed to myself a win. Hold on, I can't see you guys. I almost guaranteed myself a win whenever Tampa Bay went to halftime. And I was solely basing that mainly on the projections that ESPN Fantasy was showing us. Because they lie to you so much. I had a 99% chance to win at that point of the game. And then I really looked into it. I'm like, man, Jimmy gets a couple of points. He's ahead of me. And now I'm relying on Nacua to score at this point. That's what happened. Tampa Bay got a couple of points. They got in the red zone and they hit Chris Godwin on a little shoot pass. He almost scored. I don't know if you saw it or not, but he reached out and he was inches away from knocking over that pylon. Clearly out of bounds, though, short of the goal line. They score a touchdown, they go for two, and they hit Godwin. Now it goes from a tie game to Jimmy's up by 2 points at this point. It's 97-95. And now I'm like, okay, 2 points. What I need is one catch for 15 yards. Two catches for 5 yards, any combination of that, or just I need 2 points to tie, 3 points to win. Well, Nacua goes, catches three balls in the first quarter and a half, doesn't catch another ball until the second to last offensive play for the Rams. And it was a busted coverage, lucky play. Stafford hit him, I think it was a, what's that?
It saved his week.
Yeah, saved his week, saved my week. It was, what, a 35-yard pass, and that all but sealed the deal right there, giving me, I think, a 4-point cushion at that point. And as long as I was over 2 points, I was okay with that, because I could give up a fumble at that point. If I'm 3 points ahead, I can give up a fumble, still have the lead right there, so I was okay with that. And I wrote it off. Going into the second to last drive, I wrote off my loss. I'm like, they're not getting the ball back. He's not catching the ball. I'm done. They got the ball back somehow. And I got lucky. That's all it was. I got lucky. So I've learned my lesson in saying that in week three, I'll give Jimmy the D, giving him a D on his draft grade. So I've learned my lesson, Jimmy. Happy birthday, by the way, to the Jimster, owner of Team Sestito. He is the crisp 3-5 this year. Yes, 35, halfway to 70. So happy birthday, Jimmy.
Yeah, happy birthday, Jimmy. Yeah, I was watching closely, Tim, because as you know, I picked you to beat him, and I gave him a little bit of a shit talking session when I did that. So I wanted to be able to come out on top. So I was I was a little nervous as well.
Jimmy's team's in trouble, by the way. We'll get into that later.
I mean, I picked you to win too, Tim, and I mean I'm 0-3 now, and in fantasy I did not want to be 1-2 in our picks here, so. Glad you got the win.
Well, thank you. Definitely. Thank you.
All right, so let's move on to the waiver wire. Not a lot of action this week. Certainly nothing compared to the last 2 weeks, but we'll go over it real quick. First and foremost, Matt added Indy's wide receiver Josh Downs on a $0 bid. The Grateful Zeds dropped Sky Moore for Calvin Austin III on a $19 bid. He also added Jason Myers and dropped Dicker on a $3 bid, and added Josh Palmer while dropping Justice Hill on a $31 bid, beating out Vince at $20 and Tim at $17 respectively for Josh Palmer. The fantasy football team dropped Zach Ertz to pick up the Broncos. Ballsy after the shellacking Miami just gave them, in my opinion, but he spent a whopping $0 on it. So they added Tyler Boyd as well on a $13 bid and dropped Pierre Strong, who was last week's pickup, if you remember, for his team. And then Rico Dowdle on a $0 bid. Post waivers, Team Aaron Has Trust picked up the Bengals D, and the Sanford Water Rockets picked up Luke Musgrave, tight end from Green Bay.
You know, speaking of that, one thing I want to touch on, I caught glimpses of it in the group message, but Shane, you put in a serious bid for Ford. I just took a look at your budget remaining. I think it was $48.
Yeah.
Going hard at the beginning of the season. And your brother, too, he's already down to 124. I think you two are the lowest. You by a wide margin.
Yeah, I don't have very much money to work with, but luckily there wasn't a lot out there this week that I felt I wanted or needed, so I didn't have to put any money down on anything this week.
What do you think?
I can't remember if you talked about this last week or not, but how do you feel after doing that with Ford and Kareem Hunt heading back?
Like I said, I don't think that it's going to be a big deal, and I really don't think it was a big deal this weekend either. The split was pretty much what I had expected, a 60-40, and obviously going up against the toughest, if not the toughest, one of the toughest run defenses in the league. I didn't expect much on the ground from Ford, but he did show up for me in a big way through the air and showed up with two touchdowns, which shows me that they're going to be utilizing him as a mainline back with Kareem Hunt just showing some support there. So I'm still confident about it. I'm actually really happy with how it turned out. I was a little nervous going into it with how good their defense is against the run, but it turned out really well for me.
Yeah, definitely. Me personally, I'm just happy I finally broke 100 points. You know, my team is finally looking a little bit decent. Next week, it's looking like I'm going to get Cooper Kupp back. Latest information I've read is he has a good chance to play in week 5. It's the first chance Jeff Wilson has to come back. There's really no news on his injury, and it may be a wasted pick at this point with Anche coming out of nowhere and just, you know, but he's going into Miami's high powered offense, so keep that. Obviously, so Jonathan Taylor is, you know, so worthless at this point to me until he goes somewhere else.
Jay, I know we had discussed this, but maybe think about a trade option for Taylor or Wilson. I know that they're not in right now, but maybe be able to get something out of them, because you don't know how, especially Wilson, you don't know how that's going to turn out once he does come back. But I'm looking over your team. Did you draft the 49ers defense, or were you able to pick them up?
I did. No, I did draft them.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm pretty satisfied with that. I'm pretty much going to ride them out all year, and you know, I'm going to keep them on my team. When they go on a bye, I'm just going to drop somebody else, pick up a random defense that week. But trades, yeah. So I'm actually just getting back into it. Looked over, got a few pending moves for tomorrow on the waiver wire, and a few trades came through while I was gone. Didn't really have time or service to act on them, but I'm going to go back through them, make some counter offers to some of these people who've offered me some trades, and see if we can get something done.
I've actually had.
And if you want to look at Ford, I'd be more than willing to discuss some trades there in the Jonathan Taylor area.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's it's enticing for this year, but what I have to think about is, you know, we're going dynasty, and Taylor's coming back eventually, and you know he's going to be the star running back eventually. Ford, while he's doing good, we expect Chubb to be back at this point. We know it's not career ending; it's an MCL. So a one for one, those two players doesn't interest me. But not to say that I would not give Jonathan Taylor up.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I'll think about it. I'll We can talk about some one for twos or something like that. We'll discuss it.
Couple of things though with the Rams real quick. They're going to be pretty dangerous. Cooper Kupp comes back and he's healthy. Tutu Atwell seems to be a game changer. Obviously Puka, Tyler Higbee, the sure hands underneath. They just got to get a running game going. We saw some flashes. I forget the guy's name off the top of my head.
Williams. He looks really Williams. Good right now.
We actually saw some flashes out of him
this past weekend. Yeah, but the first two games he looked really well.
What hurt them last year was the offensive line was all new. And they couldn't protect anybody, all the injuries as well. Cam Akers is now out of the off the team. And if you remember a couple years back, or actually I think it was last year with Daryl Henderson, he wanted off the team and the Rams said, no, you come back, we'll ship Daryl Henderson out. Then Cam Akers came back. So it seems like maybe he was the issue the whole time. Now that he's gone, he's out of the locker room. You never know. This team could, because they got the talent. They got the pieces offensively. Aaron Donald on defense. That's about it on the defensive side. So we will see what happens with that.
I agree. I mean, they're already showing signs of improvement. And yeah. Cooper Kupp coming back is definitely not going to hinder them in any way.
Yeah. I worry about him staying healthy, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But obviously every player on the field runs that risk. Between him and Stafford at his age, that would be my biggest worries about the team moving forward. And you got to remember, they're only a couple years removed from the Super Bowl. So
yeah,
a lot of the defense, like you said, is not necessarily there. They got Donald, of course, but they still have those pieces to be able to get it done again, or at least compete this year.
Yeah. But yeah, so, if you want to get in touch, that's all good. If you want to get in touch with the podcast, give us a call, 740-346-5607. Hit us up on Twitter at Prime League Podcast. And shoot us an email, primeleaguepodcast@gmail.com.
All right. Well, it's time to hear some chatter from around the league. We have our first guest for tonight, a team owner of the Grateful Zeds and a newcomer to the league here in 2023. The man, the myth, the legend, and my older brother, Zachary Herron. Thanks for calling in, man. How are things going your way tonight?
Hey, guys. You hear me okay?
Yeah, we got you. We can hear you. Yeah. Yep.
Sweet, sweet. Hey, doing awesome. Thank you, Shane. I try to deny it as much as possible, but yes, in fact, Shane is one of my brothers. but yeah, man, I'm loving this league. This weekend was friggin' exciting, and yeah, it was just a great time, and I love this podcast, and happy as hell to be here.
Yeah, it's been great having you. I was super excited when you accepted the offer, and I know you had a loss this week, but it was a crazy game. You only went down by 10 or 11 points at the end of it and put up almost 150 yourself. Yeah. So, I mean, you can't be upset about that outing.
No, but I'm not proud of it either. Like, Monster, he shouldn't be able to count on somebody getting 45 points, you know. Definitely earned the loss, or I guess the other guy earned the victory. But, I'm feeling good about my team, though. I think I'm one of the healthier teams in the league, and that's definitely a good thing to be at this time of year, so.
Yeah,
that's definitely
good. Zach, let's look at your draft. We were predicting you were taking two running backs. You went right with the two guys that everyone thought, Bijan Mustard, Robinson, and Josh Gibbs. They've been pretty impressive so far this year. What led to your decision to go with those two?
I think it was kind of the obvious choice, just looking at the whole dynasty thing. I never even looked a different way. I scrolled through who was available, but that was always what I was planning on doing. And I'm not super impressed with Gibbs, but I think that's going to change. I think he's going to come on pretty quick, and Bijan's everything that we thought he was going to be. We just, need to wait for him to not be in that damn committee anymore.
Yeah, I mean, Bijan Mustard is he's a tank. He just runs through people. I'm with you on Jahmyr Gibbs. He hasn't been impressive as of yet. I also drafted him in my other fantasy league, and I'm kind of disappointed in his performance, but I feel like he's still got a good chance.
Yeah, I think he's going to be – I think he's great. I mean, you see, I mean, he's out there, he's working, you know. I really think this week could be a blow-up game for him. Just something about it just feels right. So, of course, I feel that way because it would help me win. But, yeah, I'm hoping that he comes on and just goes nuts.
Hey, Zach, real quick, let's address you sent me a couple of trades, and I didn't ignore either of them. I let the first one time out. I didn't mean to. I just couldn't make a decision as to whether or not I wanted to pull the trigger on the trade. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I know I was giving you Mike Williams, and you were sending back Tyler Algier. I can't remember who the other one was. Do you remember off the top of your head?
Oh, yeah, I've got my phone in front of me. I don't know if I can see that still. Let me check.
I think it was Gus Edwards. Gus Edwards sound right?
Sounds about right, yeah. Thanks for letting that one time out.
Yeah, after, you know what, Mike Williams, he put up, what, like 25, 30 points this week, too. Had a pretty big game and then blew his knee out late in the game. So, yeah, Zach dodged a bullet on that one. And I want to talk about the more recent one, though, trying Garrett Wilson and Algier again for Alvin Kamara. Obviously, Alvin Kamara is going to be a focal point of the offense, at least at first. He is getting older, but I still have faith that he is he's going to be the guy. And the reason part of the reason that I turned it down was because of the question marks at the New York Jets quarterback position. And that takes Garrett Wilson takes a huge hit, in my opinion, with all those question marks. So if he had a healthy quarterback, healthy Aaron Rodgers, I probably would have pulled the trigger on that just because of the age difference. But you may not have offered that trade either if Aaron Rodgers was healthy, would you?
No, I'd be starting Garrett Wilson. Yeah. The thing that makes me sad about Wilson is that it's not just a one-year problem, I'm afraid. You know, like, the Jets are just snake bit. Like, think about the prolific Jets quarterbacks that we've had in the last 10 years. Can you name one? You know, so I don't know if they're going to right the ship and get it to good. And even if they do, if that person won't, you know, have their legs snap on the first drive of the game either. So, I love Garrett Wilson. I hope he gets traded somewhere, but yeah.
He's definitely talented. He definitely is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be my main hope with him as well at this point, because like you said, you're probably looking at least 2 years before they get a quarterback in there that can really do anything, unless Rodgers makes a miraculous recovery and is, you know, top of his game next year. Outside of that, like you said, there's no history of quarterbacks there at the Jets that can do what he needs, and to see him go somewhere else is probably the best thing that could ever happen to him.
Yep, yep.
The two...
Sorry, man.
That's okay. I was going to say, you guys talk about the legendary quarterbacks. The only two decent ones, and I stress the word decent, that I can think of in recent memory, Geno Smith, who was severely underperformed as a Jet, but his talent right now, I think, puts him in that category. Obviously not good as a Jet, though. And Mark Sanchez. I think he was the last. Oh, I can't remember if they went to the playoffs since then, but Mark Sanchez, he took him to the playoffs. He played well
for
a year or two.
Can't deny it.
That's it. And then the butt fumble.
That butt fumble kind of ruined it.
I was going to say two words, butt fumble.
Well, okay. So, I mean, there was the butt fumble. But then, obviously, that's super embarrassing. But, I mean, how do you look at what Deshaun Watson did this past week of just chucking the ball 10 yards behind him for no apparent reason? I mean, it's more embarrassing because the butt fumble is a little bit, I mean, it was a mistake. It's funny in the way that it happened, but it wasn't really his fault. Deshaun Watson just blanked for 5 seconds and threw the ball 10 yards behind him to nobody for no apparent reason.
He's like, ah! Yeah.
But, and, I mean, funny story,
I agree with Tim. That was the last time the Jets were good, was with Mark Sanchez. He took them to the playoffs, to the championship game, I think twice, right? I think
so, now that you say that, yeah.
Whatever, it's a joke now. Let's talk trades. I want to move into that a little bit because I saw obviously you guys have had some trade acquisition propositions come through. Zach, who are you? What position are you targeting, if any, right now that you're looking for to fill?
You know, honestly, I like my team. You know, the big thing that I'm looking at when I make a trade offer to somebody is who's someone that they have that I really want. It doesn't matter, usually running back or wide receiver. But and what do I have that can, you know, possibly sweeten that? Usually I do a lot of these package deals, you know. Like, give me one star and one lousy person, and here's two really good guys. So far no one's bid on any of them, but I've got a few out there. I think I've got three out there right now, so we shall see.
Yeah, I mean, another one, you know, you made a couple to me over the past few weeks, and again, like Tim, they went unanswered and ignored, but by no fault of your own. They, from what I remember, they were solid trade requests, but at the time, I either couldn't put enough focus into them to look at them, or, you know, I was just it was a crazy 2 weeks. But you made some solid offers that I'm going to be looking back into and seeing if we can get something done.
Here, listen to this real quick. Okay, quarterback Tua, running back Algier and Gus Edwards. Okay, not too bad. Wide receivers Garrett Wilson, Gabe Davis, Josh Palmer, Calvin Austin Jr., and tight end Cole Kmet. That's his bench right now. That's the depth that Zach's rolling with on the bench. So he's got some players. If you guys want to dabble with some trade talk, hit Zach up. He's definitely got some players to work with for you.
Yep. Yeah, I love trading. I like the general manager thing. That's my favorite part of fantasy football. I don't think that's weird. I think everybody's into that. But, yeah. You know, I like that, you know, pretending like I know what I'm doing and I don't, you know. But it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you're always fair with your trades, too. That's why I like trading with you and at least working towards a trade, even if we don't, you know, end up going through. We just had a trade in our other league that I think was prime for both of us, and it seems like you and I are usually a lot more active than some of the other people in the other leagues we've been in, at least.
Yeah. Funny story about trades. So my wife is in what we call our family league. Shane's in it also. And my wife's really hurting at running back. She has Saquon Barkley hurt and someone else. And I've been trying to get rid of Najee Harris because he's just frustrating, and I'm a Steelers fan. And it's like I get double mad when I watch the game because he wouldn't help me and all that. So I did a trade with her for Mike Williams. And he did good for me, but immediately hurt for the season. So that Mike Williams trade I tried to do in a few different places. So.
You almost got it. Yeah, you almost got it again, man. But I'll tell you what, he's not bad to keep in my IR. I'll keep a hold of him for a year or two, see what happens.
Yeah. Wanted to touch base. So Zach talked about the general manager thing and how he enjoys that. It just made me think back to, it has nothing to do with our fantasy league here, but back to me, you, and Justin with FIFA and just going for all the trades, going through the career with France and PSG and all the other teams, and just building our team to the most devastating football team or soccer team that has ever crossed FIFA. Getting Benzema and
Messi,
Hugo.
Shit got real messy in the second half.
Just offering ridiculous amounts of money, $200 million to get people, and just the most devastating team that's ever across FIFA. That was like one of the funnest. Playing the games were fun because our team was so built, but during the trade month,
transfer window,
whatever it was, we're just whipping trades.
Transfer window, Jay.
Transfer window, yep, that's it.
Your European nonsense out of here.
It's similar with Madden, though, with football. But it was something about FIFA that was just, I don't know, it was different. You're working with multiple different leagues, not just, you know what I mean? It's not just limited to Major League Soccer or European League. You can cross over to all the different leagues. So something different about FIFA. I don't know what it was, but it was fun.
It was. I think because, like, I don't know, by that point, you know, we're in early, mid-20s. You know, we had been playing Madden for our whole lives. And FIFA was just something new and exciting and something we had no real idea what we were doing when we went into it. But I feel like we did a fine job, a real fine job.
It took us days to get set on the path that we needed. Days. We would create a whole team and realize that we couldn't use that team because we put them somewhere where it just didn't work. And so we'd have to start all over. And you couldn't change it once they were created, which they made no sense at all. So it was a process. Okay, Zach, you talked trades, you talked your draft. Let's talk a little bit. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about trashing the commish real quick.
Piece of white trash.
It's time to trash the commish.
Hope you were ready, Zach. Take it away. You got the floor.
Oh, man. Well, I tell you, yeah, it saved my brother, you know, and I don't want to hurt his feelings. And, I mean, look at the poor guy. He doesn't really have much, you know. I don't want to, like, beat him down even worse than life already has or anything. You know, and I was going to roast him tonight, but you know, it's really not good for the environment to burn garbage.
Piece of white trash.
But Shane's a good guy. You know, it's impossible to underestimate him. You know, that's one thing I could say about him. One of these days, I really believe that Shane's going to go really, really far. I just hope he stays there for as long as possible.
I agree. You know, sometimes I think about it and I also feel bad, you know, trashing him because you're right. He has so little, but then I look at the actions that he does and, you know, he does it to himself. He deserves it.
Jesus.
That's all I got, man. No, I love you, Shane. You're a good guy, man.
Love you too, man.
All right, Zach, great to have you, and looking forward to having you again here on the Prime League podcast. Zach Heron, owner of the Grateful Zeds. No Jerry Garcia around here, just Zach Heron. Thanks for joining us again, Zach.
Hey, thanks, guys. Take care. Keep doing the good work, and mute that guy if he gets in the way.
We'll do our best. I got my finger right on his mute button. Or Jay does. Jay is the only one that can mute him.
I mean, yeah.
Bye, guys.
Later, guys. Or later, Zach. Thank you.
For good time's sakes. We'll give Shane a good mute on the way out, Zach.
He's already gone, guys. But yeah, Zach had a pretty good draft. He completely turned the franchise around that was originally owned by Team Hilties. I don't have the records in front of me. I can pull them up here on my phone in a minute. But yeah, he completely turned that around. Hilty was on a losing record, completely. It was very difficult for him to be able to turn the team around. And what was needed was for him to sell the franchise to Zach or to anybody and just kind of shed the players he doesn't want, start from scratch, and I think it really helps that he had Bijan and Josh Gibbs right there available for him, top two picks.
Yeah, I think he had his work cut out for him, and he, you know, at this point, if we do an award system, I think he's going to have the comeback manager of the year, comeback team of the year, just the way this team is heading in that direction, and the draft and the players he's got, it's dangerous. Your brother's coming for you, Shane.
I know. Yeah, he's doing a really good job. I think timing was perfect because, like, the draft class was perfect for what his team needed. And that trade last year, which from Chubb to Allen.
Yeah.
So he ended up having Allen on his team. And then St. Brown blowing up. I mean, everything mm-hmm. just happened perfectly for whomever would have taken over the league when they did.
Yeah, it's fallen into place for him. I mean, how do you have Josh Allen on a team?
Josh
how
Allen.
How did we let that happen?
That was Matt last year.
Yeah, Josh Allen traded him to Hilty for Nick Chubb.
For Chubb.
Yeah.
Matt's kicking himself right now.
it's just a tale of two fortunes there between the two of their teams, actually, ever since that trade has occurred.
All right, our next guest joining us today, he's one of the first voices that you hear at the start of every episode. He has been freestyling up and down the streets of Wintersville and Steubenville over the past two decades. You may know him as the 10th One, Jay Deezy, Hybrid Prodigy, Hybrid Fallacy, HNIC. He knows the shit when it comes to the football and to the stats. He's a co-founder of Inside Out. He's also a co-founder of Cash Penny. Let's give it up for our man, Justin Biggs. Biggs, what's up, brother?
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Good, man.
Good. How's it going? Doing great. Great to have you, dude.
Excellent, man. It's wonderful to be on here with you guys. Like, I've been anticipating this moment since the first episode of listening. And just how densely packed you guys are with this football information and what you're getting out here to the rest of the league and sharing with, you know, the outside sources, you know, that are interested in this league, and just everybody that's been getting involved in this, man, has just been an awesome thing. It's been an awesome thing. It's like pretty much my primary thing to listen to these days. Like I was doing a lot of listening to like my Dallas Cowboy podcast and stuff like that. And like, I still listen to them, but they're kind of on the back burner now, you know, cause like, I like to keep up with what you guys are doing. Like, if you guys had podcasts like every like other day or something like that, like I'd be tuned in. I know that'd be a lot of work for you guys, you know, with managing like the everyday life as well. But, truthfully, man, like this show is, it's spectacular, man. Like, you guys definitely are great speakers on the mic, and, the fact that you guys are on Spotify, Apple, and you guys are getting out here on these different, distributing, you know, outlets and things like that, man, this is a great thing. I think that this is only going to grow bigger and bigger from here and this point out. I've been doing great though, man. I've just been working, just staying out the way and watching this football, man. It's been a pretty interesting season, man. You know, a lot of weird injuries early on, but at the same time, like, the teams that are winning and stuff, I pretty much expected to at this point. I think it's pretty much going according to plan for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate the intro song you put out there for us. I think it's the best way to enter it. But, you know, speaking of the Dallas Cowboys, what happened this weekend?
Oh, man. I was actually going to bring it up myself, but I figured you guys would definitely get into it because I think it surprised a lot of people here, man. Like, you know, you just can't win a game when you're, you know, when a team like that, I think the Cardinals ran 53 plays. They had, I think it was 212. I want to say 212 team rushing yards. Like,
I think it was 222, actually. Just, I have it in my notes here.
Yeah, it might have even been 222.
Hold on. I'll find it. Keep going, man. Sorry.
No, but, yeah, that's a phenomenal amount of yards per carry and stuff. Just the fact that they couldn't shut James Conner down. I mean, even the back spot committee, they're all putting in the work. They're doing work. Josh Dobbs even had a 45-yard run. I mean, they're just – I don't know what the defense that we're running. We only got the two linebackers on the field most of the time. You know, one of them's an edge rusher. Like, so that up front has got to, you know, right at the snap, they got to beat the offensive line at the snap, and they got to get into the backfield immediately. Because if they don't, guys like Jonathan Hankins, Osa, you know, I've seen a little bit from Mozzie, but I want to see more from Mozzie, man. With him being a first-round pick, I feel like, you know, he's got to contribute a little more to that interior of that defensive line. The defensive ends and stuff, like, they've shown that, like, they can rush the passer well this year, but when they get in situations where these teams want to be a little more run-heavy, I mean, we might be in trouble this season if we can't patch that up. That's something that Dan Quinn, you know, he's got to adjust and talk with the other, you know, defensive coaches. They got to try to find a way to game plan for this and you know, strengthen what's going on up there. Josh Dobbs goes 17-21, you know, very efficient, you know, and the fact that he was able to do that is because, you know, he's throwing under 25 attempts, you know. Like, they ran a perfect game plan on what they wanted to do against us. And, you know, the 32 runs, like, you know, it was immaculate. But I'm sure that they even didn't expect to probably get the yards that they ended up getting. They were gashing us, man. Yeah.
222 on the ground, led by James Connors. He had 98 yards and a touchdown last week. So, yeah, as you mentioned, you don't see teams too many teams do that against the Cowboys. Diggs, obviously, not the issue. I mean, maybe they relied a little bit more on the ground game, opened up the pass game with Diggs gone. I don't know. They were out of sorts last week. Do you think it's possible maybe they took the Cardinals a little bit too lightly coming into the game?
I totally agree. I think it was partly that, you know, just because of the talent level, you know, of both teams. Not to disrespect, you know, Arizona's talent. I mean, they do have some talent on that roster, but I think that a lot of people, you know, Dallas is a Super Bowl contender every year by the media, where Arizona, like, they're looking like they're in a rebuild. But at the same time, like, I think that, like, Trayvon Diggs' injury actually hurt the team's morale a bit. Because he's one of them, like, after Micah, I mean, he is, you know, that, you know, 1A leader on that defense. I know we even brought Stephon Gilmore in, but Diggs has been with the culture of the team longer. You know, he spent, I think this is his fourth season. He spent three seasons here so far, you know, prior to this year. And I'm just saying, like, when you lose a guy like that, especially in practice, you know what I'm saying? That's a bit of a blow to the team morale, you know. But I think we definitely, I mean, even though, you know, Belichick is without question one of the greatest coaches ever, if not, you know, and in some people's eyes, I feel like that we find a way to game plan and bounce back against New England next week. The key is going to be, though, they've got to realize that you got to take that run game, you know, and be a little more run aggressive. And I think that they're able to do that a little more with New England, because I feel like that, you know, Arizona, even though we're talking about their talent, they have the talent like Hollywood Brown and these guys, you know, that could take it off the top. I'm not sure if I'm really sold on anybody in New England being able to do it. Not that these guys aren't good receivers. They can't run routes. They're not possession guys, but you know, I think that, you know, they're going to be hitting us more, you know, along the middle of the field with pass plays and stuff like that. Not as much deep stuff, maybe here and there. But a lot of the time, you know, Mac Jones is, you know, he's kind of like still managing the game. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say he's all the way elite yet. Like, he's shown signs and flashes, but I feel like that he's just got to be a little more consistent for me to be totally sold on him being, like, you know, a top 15, top 10 quarterback in this league. So I think we can win that game. Like, I got a prediction actually for this week's game coming up with New England and Dallas. And I'm going to go with a score of, I'm not going to, you know, give Dallas, you know, no 40 points and stuff and be like, you know, a super fan and stuff like that.
I'll
be unrealistic here, because you know, I don't want to do that, because the offense has been inconsistent. So I'm going to be a little realistic here. I'm going to say a score of Dallas 23, New England 17. And I think we can bounce back in a narrow win and get back to 3-1 here this week going into Los Angeles.
I think that's a fair assessment. You know, I think Dallas puts up a little bit more points than you give them here. To me, Dallas, I think, got a little too ahead of themselves. 40-0 against the Giants, 30-10 against the Jets. Obviously the Cardinals without Kyler, so I think they just got a little too, let's look to New England and not worry about the Cardinals. But you know what, Josh Dobbs is very surprising to me on what he's been doing. I was just looking at it, his passing percentage, completion percentage is in the high 60s, I think, for the season. 2 touchdowns, no picks. And I'm happy to see him do good there. You know, him and James Conner both coming from the Steelers in different roles, but I'm glad they're both succeeding down there in Arizona.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, they've looked phenomenal. I'm always rooting for James Conner, you know, especially being, you know, dealing with the cancer and stuff like that. And, you know, shout outs to UPMC, man, you know, for them doing what they needed to do, you know, to make sure that he got back to the top of his game and he's healthy and living his best life and doing what he loves to do. But Josh Dobbs has been absolutely, like, amazing. I think a lot of people going into when Kyler went down, they didn't give him no credit about, like, oh, well, you know, Dobbs is probably not going to be able to, like, you know, manage the ship here, especially because this team's looking to be in the cellar of the division. And, like, that was all the talk, you know. And I'm telling you what, like, even though he hasn't put up, like you said, just 2 touchdowns, 0 picks early on, but it's efficient. Like you said, the completion percentage up there in the, you know, mid-60s and, like, up towards the high-60s, like, that's impressive, man. I'm telling you, this kid, if he keeps it up and just keeps getting comfortable in that offense, I mean, Arizona, you know, like, it's just how they do against, like, you know, San Fran and the Rams, though. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. In Seattle, they got a tough division. But
yeah,
I'm saying they're definitely going to be a team that's relatively more exciting to watch than I think people were, you know, trying to write them off. Like, that would be like a snore team when you'd see them on TV. And I think they're going to be pretty decent, especially their defense. I think their defense is not all that bad, man. The offense just needs to help them out a bit. I'll tell you though about this season overall though, man, like, don't you just notice how there's been kind of like a pattern, like, week by week in terms of, like, the scores and stuff? Like, you know, in the first week we had a lot of them close games and some surprising upsets. Some of the games that stood out in that first week for me, I don't know about you guys, but it was like the Lions and Chiefs for me. You know, the Lions being able to come out in the opener, get mm-hmm. that win, hold the Chiefs at bay. Chicago and Green Bay in that first one. Like, I definitely thought for sure Chicago, you know, Jordan Love is just getting started there in Green Bay, while, like, Fields had a little bit of time already, you know, under center. And, like, the fact that they kind of got blew out like that a little bit. And then, of course, like, when we got our shutout that week, like, I actually was kind of worried that the Jets might be able to pull one off against us.
Yeah.
And the fact that we come out there, like, insanely, like, hyped and ready to roll, like, I was incredibly impressed. I was definitely proud. And then in week two, you know, that the Browns-Steelers game, you know, the Chubb injury. I mean, the game was like one of those classic brawl games, you know what I mean? It was very close. It was definitely a standout game for the week. The Packers-Falcons game, you know, that 25-24, you know, just the fact that that game was so competitive with these young quarterbacks, with Desmond Ridder and Jordan Love, and the fact that they're, you know, running their offenses respectfully the way that they are, you know, it's been a surprise, I think, for people to see in the fantasy football leagues, such as the New Guinea Prime and such as all the other leagues. Like, I'm certain that, like, a lot of these people are like, whoa, you know, like, Desmond Ridder. I mean, they're not maybe putting up like Love is. I know Love is. I've seen some of his numbers. I don't know if Desmond Ridder's putting up, like, insane numbers, but I know they have to be putting both up respectable numbers and points in the fantasy league with the way that these teams are playing right now. Tampa Bay and Mayfield, like, what's going on there? I mean, they're playing pretty decent, you know?
Something I'm looking over the records right now. Something that really stood out to me were, through 3 weeks, there's only 3 undefeated teams. Just correct. 3. San Francisco, Philadelphia, and Miami. Only 3 teams that have yet to lose. And we're 3 weeks in. So,
and that's what I was about to get to, too, that Miami. Like, can y'all believe that?
That's crazy, yeah.
That's crazy. They're so strong right now, man. It's crazy.
They almost broke the scoring record of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
73 points by the, it was the Washington Redskins New York Giants back in, I think, 1941.
This dude. Not looking at any stats up. Just sitting here bullshitting, looking me right in the eye as he pulls that number out right there. That's what I'm telling you.
You know, like, my father had me studying the football cards when I was a kid, bro. I was learning states and capitals and the presidents of this country, man. Like, I was learning that, too. He would, like, throw me up a football card covering a name, you know what I mean? I'd have to be like, oh, that's a Steve Largent card, you know what I'm saying? Like, right towards the tail end of his career or something, man. Yeah, he was breeding me for this sport young. And then, like, when I see, you know, Yeah, I bet you guys, when we were coming up, we were all big football guys, and then you guys were playing this stuff. And, like, I just wish I would have been more motivated to play, to be honest. But you know that my eyes never left, you know, the screen on Sundays. Oh, yeah. And I'd still be up there. I'd still be up there, you know, playing the backyard games with the guys and the gang on Sundays. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I never missed. I never missed a Sunday with football in my gang, man. You know, so that's why this is, like, a real blessing to be on here on this show tonight. I truly, truly thank you guys, man.
Oh man, we appreciate you being here. It's 100%.
Hell yeah, man. So how do you guys feel about some of this stuff going on in the league right now? Continue.
We talked about this a couple of times. What's really surprised me, I know it's part of the game, but injuries. They've just seemed like, I don't know if the injury percentage of players have gone up this year or if it's just the injury percentage of high-profile players that have gone up. But it seems like every week they're dropping like flies, and it's very unfortunate. I know that Turf does, or at least Turf has been brought up as maybe being a big cause of it, and I think I brought up the number 24% or point. It's a very small percentage of an increase in rate of non-contact injuries on turf as opposed to on natural grass. So, I mean, there's a little bit of an argument there. I don't know. I think it's going to take an injury to a high-profile player, a really high-profile player, someone like a Patrick Mahomes right now, or you know, just anybody, Josh Allen.
Dirty mouth.
Sorry. I know. As soon as I said that, I didn't mean to wish any bad juju, but, you know, a high-profile name, a franchise quarterback, franchise running back, receiver, anything like that, someone who's in the spotlight, one of the faces of the league, once they have a non-contact injury, then we're going to see something happen. You've seen it with Tom Brady. Correct. He got hurt two times. There was two new rules installed soon as he got hurt the very next year.
Right. So they was on it, too.
Yeah.
They was on it, too.
We can't afford this anymore. Change the rules. You can't touch him on the legs anymore. Can't touch him in the helmet anymore. That's what it takes, an injury to a high-profile player. And the pass interference rule a couple years back, you remember it was, I think, NFC Championship game with the Rams and Saints.
Yes, yes.
And it propelled the Rams into the Super Bowl because of that pass interference.
That was in the OT. Didn't that even go to OT, I believe, or something?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, that was OT.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what pushed it into OT, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and
yeah, that was an insane game. And that call was wild.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's all anyone talked about for the next 7 days.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, no, it was the next 14 days. It was the next 14 days because that was leading up to the NFC Championship game. So it was all that was talked about leading up to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, because they even put the Pro Bowl in between now, so there's not just like a blank week.
Yeah.
You know?
Couple weeks.
Which I kind of like, but like it's like when you got so accustomed to tradition, I actually kind of like when that Pro Bowl was at the end.
Yeah. A couple of weeks back, though, guys, Big stopped over the house, and we popped out this intro that you guys hear every week, and it was quick. Like, hey, let's do this. He stopped over. We looked through some different beats, some different hip-hop beats, and we kind of sat on the Fox NFL intro. We found a little remix to it. He's like, all right. And if anyone has ever been around Biggs when he's writing, he's got his notebook, he's got his pen, and just starts going. And he doesn't take his eyes away from the paper till he's done. And there's no scribbles on that page.
That's the fact.
It's all the way through, one take, one write out, and boom, he's ready to go. We get on the microphone. It took a minute to time up the start of the beat. But as soon as because it kind of like drops in like real unexpectedly, as soon as he was able to time that up, one take. It's all it took, one take, and then he layered it. This dude's a G.
Sick. Hell yeah.
One
I appreciate you guys, man. And the reason I've worked so hard on it is because, like, I said, picking even the NFL on Fox beat, like, there was even, like, you know, some subliminalness in that to me. You know, in my head, I'm thinking when I heard that beat and why I was like, that's the one.
Yeah.
It's because I'm thinking to myself, like, you guys are the up and coming, you know, and I'm hoping to be a fourth member or, you know, or something of this team, you know, more permanent full time and even joining the fantasy league here maybe next season. But I just felt like, man, like listen to you guys weekly like that, and then football's every week. like, it would be nice if we could really get this on Sunday. A lot of these games are live and stuff, but like, the NFL and Fox Music just reminded me of that gang, like JB, Terry, and Howie, like, yeah, they're an elite group, man. And you guys are elite. Like, you know, maybe not the the masses may not know it yet, or like, you know, a bigger scale, but it's coming. It's coming. And they're going to see, man. Like, y'all know, y'all got this football shit on lock, man.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You forgot Strahan. But I know what you mean, back in the day, whenever it was just those, whenever those guys, and then there was someone else in there. I can't remember who else it was, but Terry's my dude.
I think it was Jimmy Johnson for us.
Jimmy Johnson. He's still there. He's still there.
Yeah, it was Jimmy, Terry, Howie, and JB.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. I forgot about JB. You're right. You mentioned him, too. I just forgot about that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go with James Brown. Not the singer. Not to be confused with the singer, anybody out there listening. Get up now.
All right, B-Wall, before we let you go, I wanted to ask you, because something that's really stood out to me over the last 3 weeks so far is, and I don't know if maybe I'm just paying attention to it more this year or not, but it's the rookie play. I feel like it just, especially the wide receivers, and obviously the two, you know, Jameer and Bijan, but at running back, I feel like they're showing up in earlier than normal and putting up points in the real life and in fantasy being viable options.
McClain, you hit it right on the nose, boss man. Like, these rookies have been playing absolutely phenomenal. I mean, even like, you know, Anthony Richardson, a couple games, CJ Stroud, you know,
mm-hmm.
Bryce Young has played, you know, relatively decent. You know what I'm saying? He's played solid. Bijan has been a monster, bro. Like, I'm thinking at this point right now, like, he's probably got the best chance. I don't know if you guys feel any different, but I'm thinking at least offensive rookie of the year. Like, it's gotta be, and probably overall. I mean, he's had such an impact on the Falcons' success. So, you know, this early on, they need to get Kyle Pitts involved just a little bit more. Like, he's been open and stuff, and they're missing him.
Yeah. I think Addison, though, has a strong case, too. I think he has a good chance.
Yes, Jordan Addison has mm-hmm. been phenomenal. He was the first guy I mentioned. Yeah, he's been insane. Like, Jackson Smith and Jigwas played pretty solid.
He was dealing with that.
Last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yeah, he's
been excellent. Slinging it, dude. They go out and have, like, 40 attempts a game with a rookie.
That's wild.
He ain't got no problem with it, right? He's just slinging it out there, man.
Yeah.
Like he's been doing it for 5 years or something. You know, on a professional level.
Yeah. All right, Biggs.
But yeah, man. Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry, man.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, like that was definitely an excellent point for you to bring up, though. I think definitely the way that the rookies did was excellent. I'd say even right now, too, is just some of these players that, like, have even been, like, some surprises, you know, just within the past season or two, like how Geno Smith, you know, come up. And, like, so you'll always see, like, a name or two every year. It's been, like, the past several seasons, like, maybe their first few years they weren't productive at all. And then they're just popping up, and they're starting to do their thing, and they've got it figured out. And whether it's been in, like, a new system that they're more comfortable in, or they just, you know, finally found their niche, you know, where they were at. But I'm so excited to see the rest of the season. It's still an early season. We still got, 14 more weeks left? So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it's going to be more injuries. We're going to see, as Tim said, we're definitely probably going to see more injuries, especially here later in the season. And it's really just going to be who stays healthy and who gets hot at the right time, man. And same in the Fantasy Football League.
Yep.
With the Pow Pow New Guinea Prime, it's going to be who can stay healthy and who gets hot at the right time, you know, with, like, consistent games and putting up them fantasy points. But I'm telling you what, man, like, I can't even really call who's my favorite to win the league yet. It's still too early. I need a couple more weeks. If you guys even want to have me back on briefly a couple more weeks, yeah, so that I get my take on, like, you know, who's going to, like, probably going to end up, you know, and, you know, the final championship game. And then I'll definitely give you my predictions.
Awesome, dude. All right, man. Thanks for joining us today. I know you got to get to work here soon, so we won't keep you any longer. But yeah, we're looking forward to having you on again, and thank you again for helping us out with the Open. Everyone loves it.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not kidding. He's a master. He's a master. I know Shane's seen it before firsthand. One of the three co-founders of Inside Out and obviously Cash Penny. Yeah, so going back
there. You can't even talk about Inside Out without Bryce Barrett and Shane McClain out here now. they built that. They built that with the man right here. So, you know. I mean, we got a quarter century deep, man. I love you guys, man. Like, blessings to you and your families, man. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Love you too, man. Thank you.
All right. Hey, I'm going to stay tuned in, man. Y'all have a good night, though, man. Rock this show the fuck out.
All right, man. That's Justin Biggs. Yeah. Thanks, man. And he's the voice that you hear at the beginning of the podcast every time. So I want to thank him, obviously, for that. And yeah, if you haven't worked with him, if you haven't seen him work, it's pretty impressive to watch him just pick a pen up, write down something real quick, and then record it one time. And I'm not kidding, that's all. So it was the beginning part where he couldn't time the very start with the opening drop. As soon as he did that, it was one time all the way through. So it was pretty impressive to watch.
Yeah, he's always impressive.
Yeah.
I need to feel your energy today from start to finish.
Come on!
Keep this train rolling. Let's go.
Hey, it's time to go right now.
Master or disaster?
All right. So we're going to mix it up a little bit this week, switching out our start sit. We're going to talk heroes and zeros, who went off last week, who shit the bed, who do we expect to do the same thing this week, or maybe a different player to show up. Let's discuss this. We're going to start off with Jason. Go ahead and take it away, man.
All right. So for last week, my master is CJ Stroud. He's shown solid improvement every week. He went off 2 weeks ago with 380 passing yards and two touchdowns, I believe. And then he followed up that performance last week with 280 yards, two touchdowns, no fumbles for the first time, so no turnovers, and his best completion percentage to date at 66%. He's being very smart with the ball, zero interceptions in 3 weeks as a rookie. It's kind of unheard of. Another big thing is he's not relying on his legs. He's trusting his passing. We know from college that he can run when needed, but he only has 10 rushing attempts through 3 weeks. So that's pretty impressive. And this was against a good Jags defense that held the Chiefs to 17 points the previous week. But this week he has a good test coming up against the Steelers defense. They obviously, TJ Watt, he's leading the league with 6 sacks. The Steelers defense has been pressuring quarterbacks, not just TJ Watt, but just overall in general. It's going to be a big test for him this week. And to me, this isn't just a master for last week. It's really for the season overall. He's looked really good. And just want to throw Tank Dell in there as well. As a contributor to this, 145 yards and a TD this week to help Stroud. My disaster for the week, Desmond Ridder. This is a bit biased on my end because I picked him up this week to cover for Joe Burrow because I didn't think he would play. He ended up with just under the amount of points Joe Burrow did because he did end up playing, but it still wasn't impressive. He only got me 8 points. He really did good week 2 against the Packers. He came out this time and basically tripped over his own shoelaces. He did not look comfortable back there at all day, all game. Just over 50% completion percentage. No touchdowns, no interceptions, but he did have a fumble. Just over 200 yards. He just never looked comfortable. And this was against a Detroit defense that was completely annihilated by Seattle the previous week for 37 points. So I wasn't expecting, a 30-40 per point performance from him, but 8 points in 1 week, that's bad. So for this week, my master is Devontae Adams. He torched the Steelers secondary in a losing effort. 13 receptions, 172 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And it didn't look hard for him. He made it look easy. This week, he's going up against a Chargers defense that has not looked great. They're giving up 36, 27, and 28. I think he's going to have another great game this week and really go off. making a stronger connection with Jimmy G. My disaster this week is Lamar Jackson. He's looked better since week one with 28 points and 30 points, but he's going up against a very, very good Browns defense. He didn't do awful against the Colts, but he didn't look great. No touchdowns. He did have a fumble, and the Browns are much better on defense than the Colts. He is throwing the ball accurately, but not producing a lot of yardage. So I wouldn't be surprised for him to have less than 15 points this week. So Master Davante Adams, disaster Lamar Jackson. You know, just to wrap up, I do have to bounce off. So you got my pick in there for the King of the Hill segment. Shane, Kamish, you know, what can I say good about you? Nothing. My mom always said, if you can't say nothing good, don't say nothing at all. So I'm going to take this week to not say anything at all. But I will return in full glory next week.
All right, guy. Thank you. And, yeah, go take care of what you got to, take care of. You're going to end this and we'll, just jump back on another one. Jay gone. I think he's gone, but let's go ahead and keep it here until we get booted, Sean. If we do get booted,
I'm going to keep the meeting open. So you guys go ahead and continue.
You're the man.
Don't have to interrupt anything. So
you're the man.
Finish it out.
All right. Cool. Thank you, guy. All right. First of all, there's a trend here with all of our picks, and I'm going to wait to see, not with all of our picks, but with some of our picks here for Master or Disaster. I'm going to wait and see if Shane, if you can pick up on it here by the time we're done. Okay. My Master, Keenan Allen, my dude, didn't even score a touchdown last week. He was number two in fantasy points, racking up 215 yards receiving, 18 catches. He was targeted 20 times by Justin Herbert, 47 passes, 20 of those went in the direction of Keenan Allen. Absolute ass-tearing performance out of Keenan Allen last week. And my disaster, Dallas's defense. I'm going to pick the whole defense right here because they looked ill-prepared for a team that should have absolutely throttled the Cardinals, gave up 28 points, over 400 yards total offense. I believe that the loss of Diggs had little to do with this. I think that this was more of a looking past, as we were talking about earlier with Biggs. Looking past Arizona, looking on to New England. So, yeah, Dallas's defense put up minus two after two outstanding performances through the first 2 weeks. Dallas's defense is my disaster pick from last week. This week, my master pick, I'm going with CeeDee Lamb. Dallas will look to make a statement after an embarrassment last week. Prescott will look to hit his top target in CeeDee Lamb. Early and often in the win over New England. So CeeDee Lamb is my master this week. My disaster is CJ Stroud. 900 yards passing through the first three games. That trend ends in week four, Shane, as the Houston Texans welcome the Pittsburgh Steelers, one of the top defenses in the league. So I think that they will put an end to Stroud's interception-less streak. He has 900 yards. I don't think it gets much more than 1,000 after this week. So, yeah, CJ Stroud is my disaster.
I like it. I see what you did there. A little flippity-floppity.
What you mean? A little flippy-floppy. What am I flipping?
Flippy-floppy. So taking you took his master and made it a disaster.
Yep. Okay, that yeah. Yep. I did. I didn't.
Is that not what you were implying?
No, not from what I said earlier. We'll get into that after. But no, yeah, I did notice that. But yeah, he has been playing lights out. I just don't think that it continues against Pittsburgh.
Gotcha. Understood. Well, it's got to happen at some point for every rookie, and why not against one of the strongest defenses that are currently playing? So that's definitely fair right there. Okay, so for me, my previous week's game's master would have been Devon Achane or Chan or
Apache. Chan.
I've heard multiple pronunciations over the past few days of it. So moving forward, I'm going to refer to him on this show as Devonche Onche only. Okay. We're going to leave it at that. But he blew up with 51 fantasy points in our league, at least. He had 18 carries and 4 receptions, 4 total touchdowns. He went beast mode right alongside Mr. Mustard, Raheem Mostert, and I am very happy he is on my team. My disaster, who is also on my team, not to be so biased to my team, but they just stood out to me this week, would be Dalton Kincaid. The Bills put up 30-plus points, 37, I believe, and Kincaid accounted for a whopping 2 fantasy points on 2 receptions for 8 yards. When your team puts up a total like that and you come away with such a putrid stat line, it definitely has to put some scare in you if you're a Kincaid owner like myself. My upcoming games, we're going to move forward with the master here, is Keenan Allen. He decimated the competition last week. With Williams sidelined for the rest of the season, I see his output only increasing. I don't expect 47 fantasy points each week, but he's going to be a monster for owners everywhere as long as he remains on the field, and I expect another huge game for him this weekend. Moving forward, my disaster, A.J. Dillon. He had 11 attempts for 33 yards and walked away with a whopping 3 fantasy points on the week last week. Jones is coming back, expected to be back at least, and with piss-poor performance so far from Dillon while he's been away, I think we may have seen the end of him as a useful fantasy asset, flex at best moving forward, and that is without Jones in the lineup.
All right, yeah, no, what I was, what I see that you were referring to was Jason had C.J. Stroud as his master. I picked him as a disaster. And then I picked Keenan Allen as a master. You picked him as a master as well. No, what I was referring to as all of our week 3 disasters were on our own teams. I have Dallas's defense. You have Dalton Kincaid. And I forget who Jay picked. Quarterback.
Ritter,
yeah. Yeah, so Ritter, yeah. All of our disasters were on our own team, and we didn't even plan this out. This is just kind of how it happened, because none of us really knew. I mean, you sent the notes that you had, but I always clear out what you put, and I didn't see Jay's until we brought him up just a few minutes ago. So, yeah, that's funny. Our disasters from last week, each of them were on our own team, so it shows a little bias right there.
Absolutely. Uh-oh. Oh, no. That time. It's the time. It's that time.
King of the Hill. 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 King of the Hill.
All right, Jay usually introduces this one, but since he took a step out, I'll go ahead and take over the reins, if that's all right with you, Sean.
Perfectly fine.
All right, round 4 of King of the Hill is upon us. The record stands as Shane at 4-0, myself, Tim, at 2-1, Jason at 2-1. Who are you guys taking this week? And let's go ahead. I'll go ahead and kick it off, I guess, since I got the microphone going right now. Last week, my pick was Jeff over Wayne. It was a win. Upcoming week, I'm picking Bryce over Jimmy. Bryce's team has come on strong, and unfortunately, Jimmy's team has been cursed, and it's not his own fault. Apparently, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift were getting it on in a private suite next to Kelce's mom at the Chiefs game last week, obviously targeting Kelce to be a focal point of her next album, which will be called Chief Cucks. And the Chiefs fans will just sit there and they will watch. They will be the Chief Cucks. So, Bryce over Jimmy. That's my
Took a stroll there, Tim. I almost forgot who you picked.
I got Bryce over Jimmy. Okay.
Going over just so Jimmy gets picked as the loser once again by one of us. Jesus, this poor guy.
Is that 3 weeks in a row someone picked against him?
Yeah, it's 3 weeks in a row someone's picked a team over Jimmy. Well, we'll see if that streak continues next week. I am going to go ahead and pick this week myself and knock it out and get it out of the way over Jason, who's obviously hurting terribly right now with his team. Last week, I picked you over Jimmy, Tim, and that was a win. So I, as you know, moved to 4-1. You're at 2-1, and then Jason at 2-1. And we have his pick as well. You want me to go ahead and just roll with it?
Yeah, go ahead. I don't have it pulled up. I was actually getting ready to do that, but go ahead since you got it.
Yep, I got it. So his previous week pick was also you over Jimmy, and of course that was a win, moving him to 2-1, like I said. And this week he is taking the Grateful Zeds over In Your Girl's Guts.
Okay.
That takes Zach over Wayne.
All right, so there you have it. As the record stands again, Shane at 4-0. He's leading the group of losers, me at 2-1, and Jason also at 2-1.
Piece of white trash.
It's time to trash the committee.
Also, Jason has the notes, but want to say that King of the Hill is now sponsored by Humphreys Homes. I don't have the read here. Shane, you got the read in front of you? Oh, I just saw your message. I don't have the read here. Do you got the read?
I do indeed. All right. So this week, as Tim just said, we are proud to announce a new partnership with Humphreys Homes at Red One Realty, owned by our friend, of course, former league mate and gentleman who did an amazing job filling in for Jason while he was away, Justin Humphreys. If you guys or anyone out there listening is looking to buy or sell in the Columbus or Ohio Valley area, you can reach out to him on Facebook at Humphreys Homes or Instagram at Humphreys_Homes. With Humphreys Homes at Red One Realty, you're always just in time to buy, sell, build, or invest.
Piece of white trash.
It's time to trash the committee.
Also, if you'd like to sponsor a segment or just sponsor the podcast in general, get in touch with us. Text either one of us individually. Email us primeleaguepodcast@gmail.com. And again, don't forget we're on Twitter at Prime League Podcast. Just get a hold of us. You know how to do so. All right, here we go. The segment you've all tuned in to hear. Time to trash the commish. Of course, this segment brought to you by Greg's Eggs. Check out the Greg's Eggs YouTube channel for the latest episode of Greg's Eggs. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button. All right, well, it looks like it's just you and I here for Trash the Commiss this time, Sean. So we'll go ahead, and this one is from Overall Sean from the Bobby. Where did you get your face? From the stupid store? This one's from Crispy Joe from Rice University. I'll never forget the first time we met, but damn it, I'll keep trying. This one is from Sharon and Karen Dix from Glenn Deep's Nautical Adventures. We love sharing and caring for Dix, just not you.
Oh, didn't see that coming.
This one's from Phil Cracks, also from Glenn Deep's Nautical Adventures. I want to fill your crack with my special C-man-t. With a special C-man-t.
We have to go get it. I think we...
By the way, I know none of you guys can see Shane's face. I wish you could have seen it whenever I said that. It was just disgusting. Like, oh, God. And finally, a short Trash the Commish segment. Oh, hold on. Let's see something right here real quick. Okay. Don't forget, you can also send your Trash the Commish material to us. Send it to me right now. Jay's off the podcast for the night. But, yeah, go ahead and send it over to me, and we will get you read on air. But this one's from Sloppy Joe Green from the Swamp. You make me want to...
Okay. What the fuck? Hold on. What's happening?
White trash.
Hold on.
It's time to trash the committee.
Okay, I need a second for this one because I forgot about this one. Okay, this one's from Sloppy Joe Green from the Swamp. You make me want to shove a silly balloon up my ass, inflate it, pop it, siphon the air out with a hose, burp it into your mouth, punch you in the stomach, then smack you with a piece of Oscar Mayer bologna. B-O-L-O-G-N-A. You cuck! You cuck! That's the second cuck reference, by the way, of this episode.
Piece of white trash.
It's time to trash the committee.
Oh, fucking shit, man.
I think those are the only two references to cucks that have been been made here so far on the Prime League podcast. We're almost through 8 episodes now, so. Okay, well, your brother let you have it, and I let you have it. It's your turn to let us have it, Commish.
Oh, good gosh. Well, I mean... I thought it was going to be fun to have Jason back until the minute he signed on and all of those feelings left me. But I'll say this, I'm happy he doesn't have a camera still. Oh my God. That's it. That's all I got.
That's all you got? He didn't even really get the trash yet. He actually reserved his trash for next week, and I threw you, five or six, and you let me off the hook this week.
Well, I didn't know Swamp Ass or whoever it was going to write in. I mean, I would have fucking prepared something for him. Shit.
Sloppy Joe Green from the Swamp.
Yeah, whatever his name is.
Oh man, not Mean Joe Green. And honestly, I didn't even put two and two together whenever I originally wrote that out. Sloppy Joe Green and
Sloppy Joe Green.
Comparing him to Mean Joe Green. I didn't even put those together until I was reading it out loud.
God, I never thought I would miss having Humpy on here until this moment.
Piece of white trash.
It's time to trash the commish.
Okay. All right, great show. Commish.
Right back at you,
as
sir.
We wrap up.
Right along, but I enjoyed our guests, and it was a good time.
Absolutely, yeah. Wrapping up Trash the Commish segment. Again, sponsored by Greg's Eggs. Tune in to the newest Greg's Eggs episode on the YouTube channel. Check out the latest episode. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Greg's Eggs, proud sponsor of the Prime League podcast. Okay, well, we are wrapping up episode 1.8, and we have a couple of things coming up next week on the episode that will be new to the podcast. We'll do a power rankings, if you will. Well, what we're going to do is we have this little formula. We're going to pick who we think is the best team, and we will provide to you as a group a consensus power rankings for next week's show. We'll break it down next week, tell you how everything goes into the equation. We'll bring you that. We'll have the power rankings for the Prime League podcast for the first time coming up next week.
Yeah, I'm extremely excited about that, actually. So I'm looking forward to that. we are also going to be releasing the details on how the dynasty is going to be set up officially. So I'm looking forward to releasing that. And then from there, we'll be able to discuss as a group how we want to, or if we want to, of course, expand the lineup after we remove kickers and defense next year.
Okay. So
looking forward to next week with both of those announcements, with the power rankings and the official dynasty information. And then I just wanted to have one more announcement regarding trades. We're coming into week four now. People are starting to get a grip on their teams, kind of know what they have, what they need, what they can offer, what they can't. Just be aware that trades do not run all season. Of course, everybody knows this, but I just want to let you know that they do end at November 24th at 3 a.m. in the morning. So if you want to start kicking out some trades, go ahead and do so. I encourage that. Float some offers out in the group or steal a number or something from the group and reach out individually. But let's get some activity going.
Okay, you said November 24th, right?
Yep.
Just the plan ahead. That's the night after Thanksgiving. That's Black Friday into Saturday. So that will be in the middle of the week. So just kind of think about that. Plenty of time, obviously, well over almost 2 months away still from that point. Mm-hmm. So, still a lot of time for that. But yeah, it's crazy. We already have completed 3 weeks. I believe this week will mark now they expanded the season, so now it's 17 games in a year. So this would typically be the quarterway point mark of the year. Back whenever they were playing the 16-game schedule, this week coming up would be a quarterway through the year. So it's crazy how quickly it goes. Yeah. All right, Shane. Jason, you're not here anymore. He is still here, but I don't know if he can hear us or not. But it's great having you back, Jay.
Let's scream bloody murder, dude.
All right, ready? One, two. All right, no. Okay.
Timmy, always a pleasure, sir.
Fuck yeah, man. Week four kicks off Thursday night football. The Packers host the Lions at 8:15. Gentlemen, don't forget to set your lineups. And that goes doubly for me because I forgot the freaking
reminder on that. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
This week is our first London game. Remember?
Yes.
9:30 a.m. on Sunday.
That's something else I wanted to bring up. Also, did you see what they're doing with the London game on TV?
No, what's happening?
They are. They'll have the regular broadcast, obviously, so you can watch it with not, you know, just
are you
a regular
about the
football
Nickelodeon
game.
Thing where they turned them into toys.
Toy Story. There is a Toy Story theme, and the players are going to be toys in Andy's playroom. So I think that's absolutely hilariously cool. So I'm looking forward to at least watching it for a little bit. I'm sure at some point I'll get over it and be like, all right, I'm going back to the TV. For but yeah, that's awesome. They're going to be playing as Toy Story in Andy's toy room, so, or Andy's bedroom. So that's going to be pretty cool to watch. So, but yeah, as you mentioned, who is it? Jacksonville. It seems like Jacksonville always plays those London games. Is that a hint
London
that they're going to...
Once a year when they have games over there.
Is that a hint that they're moving them over there? Are they going to move them over there? Is that a hint that they're moving Jacksonville over there?
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me. They got three teams in Florida, and they're right on the coast.
Yeah. All right. Well, yes, Thursday night football kicks off, Packers and Lions, and then the Sunday morning game, as you were talking about, Shane, it's Atlanta versus Jacksonville. That game is being played in London, and then everything else kicks off here in America at 1 o'clock. Search for the Greg's Eggs YouTube channel, proud sponsor of Trash the Commish. Go ahead, hit that subscribe button. Looking for a new home? Hit up Humphreys Homes with Humphreys Homes at Red One Realty. You're always just in time to buy, sell, build, or invest. Humphreys Homes, the newest sponsor to the Prime League podcast. Follow us on Twitter, Sean.
Prime League Pod at Prime League Pod.
And also email primeleaguepodcast@gmail.com. We are live Wednesday nights. Again, I say this every week at 7:30, but 8 o'clock, 8:30, I think is more realistic. We'll send out your invites in the group. We'll let you guys know this in each episode. We'll drop Thursday morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. Again, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Shane, it's been great again. Episode 1.8 in the books. Love you, dude.
Love you too, brother.
Man, get out my way and watch out as I come. Busting in your line, cracking helmets in. I bring the pain, so what you gonna do? Stand there and just get shook out ya. So clean out your locker, I'm out to get ya. Cause I just popped ya. You can't take the pressure. You might as well quit cause you just can't last. Mad at 2000, put your face in the grass. And your pride in the dirt, so put on a skirt. If you come on the field and don't wanna get hurt, just bruised and beaten, all black and blue. And it's been like that since Madden 92. You better come harder than hard, rougher than rough. Your guard, get ready to crush. It's things on this field that you just can't change. EA Sports is in the game.
What you want?
The rock in the palm of my hand.
What you got?
I got diamond.
What you want?
The rock in the palm of my hand.
What you got?
I got diamond.
What you want?
The rock in the palm of my hand.
What you got?
I got diamond.
What you want?
The rock in the palm of my hand.
What you got?
I got diamond.
Welcome to Madden NFL 2000, the new millennium of football.
King of the Hill.